planet Earth. Good morning to the spectral sailors out on the ghost sea, traveling to Mars in super race cars. Good morning to the florists selling flowers, stealing your hours, taking your time, florist. You keep making those bundles of flowers, florist. For the weddings, for the graduations, for the anniversaries, and the funerals. Because it is August the 16th, 2026, and it's almost precisely 8 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula, and it's your good friend Dan. And I've had some weird experiences in recent days, a couple weird ones. Not necessarily bad. I'm going to mix up my coffee here a little. If you don't care, I'm going to mix it. It's old style artisanal chemical arc welder warehouse coffee from Factory 7, if you know what I'm talking about. But it's what I can afford. It's how I live. I can set you on fire. It's like, Dan, that's taking it too far. And it is. That's crazy. Nobody should ever say that. I am joking. Just going to drink a little of it. Not bad. Not bad. Not bad. But, you know, I don't really have notes for this one. I thought I would do more podcasts without notes, but I am going to waste your time by going to zerohedge.com and looking at the current headlines. And when I say the headlines, it's the stuff that shows up on their page one of their blog. I call it headlines. They'll think he's using cocaine. Ask me if I care. Sometimes I read the stuff at the top, and maybe I will. I don't know. It looks like there's an article about how refineries work with respect to crude oil by the Macro Butler. There's something about Deutsche Bank becomes Europe's first non-Chinese renminbi clearing bank by VBL. And Swamp Pharma hookers, oh, I love this. Swamp Pharma hookers scream bloody murder over Trumpine vaccine shift by Armageddon pros. It looks like the rebel forces of Sortan and Debulai within Ceuta are invading Spain, they're invading Spain. This is like the invasion of the Moors. This is like the olden times. This is like El Cid in the 12th or 13th century, standing up to those great armies, starting the Reconquista to take back good old Spain from those people who seemed insane. Kind of like that, right? But not really. No, this is just refugees. And here's the question. Do you really think it is just a conspiracy? Some things I think are probably managed. Some things are kind of second and third order effects of managed things. And some things are just things I don't think they control at all. Like, if you're going to ask me if they had to make a choice between two events that are certain to happen. One event is where they, like, assassinate a person with an assassin. They use a bullet, a gun, old-fashioned way, right? Or they could set up circumstances where you, in a figurative sense, get hit by a bus. And it's just somebody got hit by a bus. They get hit by a bus. They had a heart attack. They got the flu. You know, random shark attack. I think these are the people that want it to look like random stuff. I don't really think they want people to know. I don't think they ever really did. And I also think they're kind of lazy that way too. So if they had a choice between creating something that would destroy the human race and just letting an event do it for them, I'm of the opinion that if both things are certain, they would be lazy and let the event do it for them. And by the way, it gives them cover. really does. So you should meditate on that. It's why I don't really think they're the thing that's going to harm us, but I do think they've been covering it up. And that's been a consistent theme on the Planetary Status Report, going back to the Little Saigon Report. I'm way off topic with the headlines, so I'm going to refresh just to be protective of their reputation. This feels different. Goldman Flow's guru spots something changing under the market surface. After the speed and volatility reset, expressions are, I'm going to simplify this for you, you're fucked. Fauci is hiding his ABC censorship bombshell. Oh my God, simplify. This is more of a mind fuck. Delusional, Iran fires back at Trump. Guys, this Iran thing is looking dumber by the fucking minute. And the longer we go without some kind of fucking missile attack on Tel Aviv, the longer I think this whole thing, I start to think it's bullshit. I'm not saying nobody's getting killed, but if you wanted to put on a theatrical war, and I mean theatrical, in fact, we'll pause for a second. Let me tell you a story. And I'm drinking my coffee. I hear you slurping, you son of a bitch. After my divorce, I decided to deep dive into writing. I'd been writing since 2011, but after my divorce, I decided to get more serious, which means to write a book. And one of the book ideas I came up with, and I no longer have the manuscript. Like, you know, if you live the life I've lived since then, you hold on to the things you can. But when I got canceled by GoDaddy in 2021, GoDaddy was kind of like one of the places I put a lot of stuff. And then it was a question of transfer it to a drive, and then what happens if the drive goes missing? And this is my situation, and I've accepted it. I've accepted that there are a lot of things you have to learn to let go of, because this is the life a lot of people have now. You know, maybe you've been lucky enough to keep a big old pile of shit that you've held on to since high school, but let's get back to the topic. I was working on a manuscript called Honeymoon, and the storyline was basically two stories. It was the arc of an actual honeymoon, recently newlywed people on vacation in Alaska, Seward, Alaska, doing the Alaska thing for their honeymoon. And the bigger arc was a sinister plan whereby the United States government was going to hand over Alaska to the People's Republic of China, but it would look like a short war. And it would look like we had no choice. Like, basically, it would become fait accompli. They would do nothing to hold back a secret invasion, which amounted to several oil tankers being fitted out as invasion craft, which, you know, is not entirely original, but would work, especially if the other side is working with you. This is the point. In this scenario, our government's conspiring with the Chinese government to basically fuck the people of Alaska. And the people find out, and the way they find out is because of this couple on their honeymoon. Anyways, the story, I never finished it. There's a lot more to it. I'm kind of bittersweet about it. Could I finish it if I got funded? Of course I could. I could finish Riley Towers. I could finish a lot of stuff. I've already finished some stuff, but I got no money and I got no time. And I don't know if any of us have. Anyways, imagine if the baseline thing I've talked about really for many years, since the Screw Believe, by the way, which is before the COVID, that's February, I think, 2019. But imagine if this is really just, on one basic level, just a monetary crisis. And imagine the dollar collapsed in 2019 and the American people were the last to find out. Like, the reason why they've been doing the psyops, this is the explanation for the COVID, this is the explanation for all the bullshit. It's not about the rest of the world. Who knows? The rest of the world could be living in a futuristic Disney paradise. This is about us right now. And imagine if the dollar collapsed in the summer of 2019, and we were going to be the last ones to find out. I call this stealth dollar collapse, and it's not that original. There's this guy, oh God, the golden jackass guy, I always forget his name because I haven't seen any of his videos in years. He might be dead, who knows. But he used to talk about the shit dollar. And I think that he was probably onto something. And I wish I could remember his name right now. But the point is, he would talk about this idea that there would be $2. There would be the dollar that we use at an international trade level. And then there would be the dollar that ordinary people use, the shit dollar, the crap dollar, the, you know, some type of crap. And then you'll buy a pint of crap. Jim Willie. Jim Willie was the guy. Jim Willie. Okay, so imagine if I'm right, and all the exploding cow stories, and all the chickens having sex with pigs getting monkey herpes stories, and all these logistical stories are cover stories for the fact that we've had to do trade in kind, which means the Chinese haven't been willing to accept our shit since 2019, which means if you want a new TV set or whatever, PlayStation 20 in your Costco next month or 2 months from now around Christmas time, they're not going to take dollars. They're going to take trade in kind, which means they'll take a cow. They'll take 100 chickens. No, probably, I would say probably 500 chickens, but maybe it's only 100 chickens. 100 chickens for a HD TV set. That's probably not accurate. If you take away dollar trade status, which is really what it means when they say reserve currency, at the end of the day, it's about oil. If you take away the dollar status as a primary oil trade mechanism, that also is a problem. And all of these things are happening right now, and they're right in front of us. So imagine not just China, but that several countries hold our debt. And it's like they hold a gun to our head, but they come up with a scheme, and this is the scheme. They say, People's Republic of China, you're really growing, you're really flowing. It's like, hello, Dolly, and we're going to the fair. We don't care. We don't feed our troops. We don't clean our poops. What if we traded strategic control of the Persian Gulf and the Middle East to China in order to get debt forgiveness? And you could say, well, Dan, the Federal Reserve, yeah, but it would include that too. It would include dismantling the Federal Reserve and the hold it has, the whole thing. The whole shebang goes down. It's like a way to trigger. It's a way to trigger the dollar collapse. And you'd say, well, that sounds bad, and it is. It ultimately becomes the thing we blame for the dollar collapse. And it also means Trump is a sacrificial creature. I called him a surfboard. If you want to look up what I mean, and no Secret Service, that's not a threatening statement. I meant that other people would take advantage. I'm not threatening anybody. But I call them a surfboard for Tulsi. Now that she's out of the administration, that theory goes out the window. But at the end of the day, Trump is a good person to sacrifice, whether he's a real person or not. He is symbolically the buffoon. In fact, if you really break it down, if this is all kind of Shakespearean, he's Falstaffian. And Falstaffian characters are funny and bumbling, and sometimes they make it in a way, or at least they're so irrelevant they simply stumble through. But in a lot of cases, they're tragic and they end up dead because that's their purpose. They're the bumbling fool, and fate has for them destruction. So I don't know what to tell you. I took this little segue from the headline because with Honeymoon, the idea was basically the same. Give up Alaska, basically pay off all the debt, clear the slate. All of it's gone and China gets Alaska. Well, probably even bigger and better than Alaska on a certain level would be strategic control of the Persian Gulf. They don't really want to own the oil fields. That's what makes them different from us. They want to control the flow of oil. And we never really did. I mean, if you really meditate on it, if we had handled the Middle East the right way, we would have probably made more money and we would still be there. But we ended up sort of ripping people off instead of trying to facilitate trade. This is what I'll say for China. It looks like they want to facilitate trade. And that doesn't mean they're good guys, by the way. Just because people are bad guys doesn't mean they have to be stupid. And right now, our government's filled with bad guys, but they're also kind of stupid. And you put the combination of bad people with stupid, it's worse than Hanlon's razor. It's like, I never liked Hanlon's razor because it seems overly simplistic. And I've actually dealt with this question in previous professional life episodes involving insurance claim remediation. And people who say, well, you should make the assumption it's incompetence. But if you worked around insurance companies and you find patterns of abuse, sure, it's just a Markov model, but why do you assume it's incompetence? You really just don't know. You don't know one way or the other. If you look at our government right now, it looks like shitty people, but they don't look like geniuses. It looks like they have the money, so they can hire geniuses, but the geniuses they hire are just shittier people. So do I think they would do this to clear the slate, to truly do a reset, a managed reset? Here you go, China. You now, the Persian Gulf and the Middle East is now in your sphere of influence. And by the way, here's another explanation for why Iran hasn't been firing missiles at Israel. That Israel went to the table too and said, listen, just give us 6 months. Give us 6 months. And what I mean is this. Give us 6 months to bug out. Like, I think this is why you've got that whole whatever Malay, the fake libertarian in Argentina right now, setting up a little safe zone there. There's Jared Kushner trying to set up a safe zone in Albania, which I joked about a few months ago. You remember that? Joked about it. But then the jokes come true. I'm like the tattoo artist from Lost. If you know, you know. Dan, you made those jokes about AmeriCorps on your t-shirts, and then a month later, AmeriCorps got canceled. Yeah, so you can blame me for that, but that just means I have the power of the Lost person, and that's okay too, you know. But and that, it's hard to sell a t-shirt if people think they're cursed. It really is, it's hard. I want to move on from the subject because I just want to go through the headlines. I didn't want to focus on them. But if you think the Iran conflict is real, it's hard to explain the strange things that have been going on with it. And if they wanted to create an event that made it easy to hand over control, this is it. Because essentially, it's almost done. I mean, at this point, for us to reverse the event, we would have to launch a World War III. War with Iran would become World War III because Russia and China would end up getting involved. And folks, nobody wants that. No ordinary people in this part of the world, or any part, nobody wants this. If there are crazy people at the Pentagon that want World War III, they haven't really thought it through. Even in the 1930s, we had years to do some preparation of our industry to get ready. Stalin, you know, he did a lot of stupid things in the 30s, but one of the things he did that was relatively smart is he started moving factories, you know, east of the Urals. And so people were making preparations, deep, deep preparations for World War II before it happened. Nobody's ready for a World War III. We don't make weapons like we used to. I think that it is a come-as-you-are war, and we're finding that out. And I've told my listeners this. If you've listened to me, I've talked about this. This was war-gamed during the Cold War. And towards the end of the Cold War, we started making weapons in ways that it's more like a craft industry. And you can talk all the drone shit you want to, but if you're talking about microelectronics and CPU fabrication, you're talking about exotic supply chains. I'm sorry, excuse me, but your life is not easy. It is a come-as-you-are war. Once you start taking out supply chains, once you start taking out your ability to produce the 3D printers, then you're just not in a good situation, no matter what weapon you're using. We do not conduct war the way we used to, and a lot of the drone stuff, I think, is a bit of smoke and mirrors, too. But that's just my opinion. But if you think the Iran conflict is real, then the only way we could reasonably impact things would be some type of invasion of Iran, and the only way you get to Tehran is through the Caspian. It's absurd. I don't see how you do it. Anyways, it's kind of like, in some ways, you could think of Iran as a giant castle. It is. In some ways, it is an abstract, no-go, slow-go terrain giant castle. They might even have bunker systems and with tunnels that connect them between mountain ranges. You've got mountain ranges, you've got deserts. Sure, there are ways to access water, but you also have a crap ton at that point of really pissed off Iranians. I don't think people remotely understand how difficult it would be to get to Tehran, so to speak, to topple the government. And if you're coming through the Caspian, then you're talking about an amphibious landing. Well, good, you know, good luck, Marines, because if the Russians pile on, your situation is going to be a little bit worse than the charge of the Light Brigade. So no, folks, it doesn't make a lot of sense, any of it, unless there's something else going on. So if you want to say, well, what if it is dollar collapse, and your theory, Dan, that that's the base case, it's just a monetary failure, which frankly is going to trigger one of the biggest periods of crack up in world history since the 14th century, but that's a separate and related topic. But that's all it is, Dan. It's nothing worse. There's no ecological issue. That's just mind psyop nonsense. Then you can, in fact, think of Iran, and this is the weird prediction, guys. If I'm right, and I'm wrong about the ecological, but I'm right about dollar collapse, then within a couple of years, it'll be Chinese warships patrolling the Persian Gulf. Probably along with Iranian, you know. I think they don't want to have all of the four. I think they would rather have Iran as an ally than as an enemy, and they would rather not control it because that's expensive. I don't think the Chinese are interested in an expensive empire, but they are interested in a soft empire, and this would get them part of it. That's crazy. Dan, you're crazy. There's a reason why you stopped that manuscript. There's a reason why the baby Jesus destroyed it. That's right. Jesus is why the bad things happen. Yeah. Dan, you're terrible. I am. I am terrible. A reckoning is approaching fast. Well, that sounds ominous. Long end yields and distillate scarcity to hit risk appetite. Markets are entering a less comfortable macro regime. Let me translate. You fucked. Ukrainian drone swarm attack obliterates wild berries. No, excuse me, dingleberries. It's like Verdun, okay? Bridgewater, we're entering the crunch time for capital. Oh my God, Gundlach wonders why we don't just finance it with warehouses of bananas. British busybodies flood 999 to report neighbors' barbecues after stupid government alert. Fire crews beg, stop the snitching as emergency system faces crying wolf backlash. Ugh, people are so manipulated right now. How Americans spend their time on weekdays and weekends. Oh, great. What to expect from El Nino and La Nina? Goldman, the path of least resistance points higher. Why are they getting free shit? Oh my God. Inside 5 years of Taliban rule since the U.S. chaotic exit. Oh my God. Where in the world are the beer lovers? Oh my God. How much money should you convert to a Roth each year? All of it? Oh my God. Massachusetts abortion law could backfire on Democrats because you're going to be killing a lot of Democrats. Oh my God. A tour of America's Blutopias. Oh my God. Trump, 9 months at sea for the USS Lincoln. Not nearly enough. I don't want to be gruff. Keep those sailors away. What are you? Gay. Dan, that's racist. I know. I'm a bad, bad man. Guys, I gotta pause here. These headlines are so absurdly ridiculous, but they're also, I think, related to the sort of the record is skipping. It's the same stupid nonsense in a slightly different form every freaking day now. And I can't tell you if you should take any of this seriously. The dumbest thing I've done in the last decade was to take Trump seriously for 24 hours and to direct my ire, my anger, my hate at him. But in reality, guys, I'm going to stick with what I've said and kick myself in the butt for being that way on that particular day. He's a column of smoke. He's an obscuration. He's an occultation. His purpose is to hide something. Do I know what they're hiding? I don't know. I mean, the theory about Iran being a gift to China, not really Iran, but the Persian Gulf, strategic supremacy being a gift to China sounds crazy. But folks, these are crazy times. And my worst case explanations are terrible. I don't like talking about them anymore. But this thing he's saying about sailors being at sea, here's what I'll tell you. When I was in the Army, not in combat, I was stationed overseas, but I was never in combat. You had different kinds of food. You had the food at the barracks. Actually, in general, when I was in Korea, if you went to the enlisted barracks for like breakfast, it was pretty good. And this is the thing. If you know a lot about Korea in terms of how it works on post, at least back in the day, I will just simply say this. There's a fair amount of corruption. It just always was there. And it's probably true everywhere. It's not just about Korea. Anywhere you have a military post, there's often this weird corrupt relationship between the people there. Because it's money, folks. It's free money coming flowing into your community. That's not just the cash. That's the PX. Okay, guys, that's the PX. That's the food pipeline. I remember shopping at the PX, and I was surprised. I saw almost no soldiers there. And this was a post-PX at Camp Stanley. It doesn't exist any longer. It was a tiny little base in Area 1 in Korea. And there were, I think, mostly more Koreans shopping at the PX than soldiers. So it's like, I don't know. Not a big deal. Not something that only happens in Korea. So you can't say you're racist. I'm not racist. I have a hard time believing that we have officers in our military. And this is really important, folks. This doesn't if this were happening, like if there were people on the Lincoln eating dreck food and not enough, which means if we're starving sailors at sea, I have a hard time believing, as corrupt as things are, that there are naval officers who'd allow that. It's a story that's hard for me to believe. I'm not saying it's not true. But folks, you got to meditate. It's not just the NCOs to have to be corrupt. That's maybe they are. Maybe they're all corrupt. But it has to be all the officers. And it has to be officers with experience in the Navy going back decades. And NCOs. And all of these people have to be conspiring to simply hide the fact that the sailors are being underserved. And folks, I have experience with people lying on status reports in the military. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's not cool. If you are a few kilometers from people that want to kill you, you should never see a lie in a status report. And I've already done this, and I'll state on the record. It's something that happens, and it's something that should never happen, and it's a simple fact of life. Okay? It's wrong, but it happens. People make claims that things are better than what they are, because if you don't, you get in trouble. It's a lot like the budget cycle. The first time I experienced September Madness was 1998. And it just drove me crazy. I couldn't believe it. It was like, why are you saying spend all this money? It says, well, if we don't spend it, we won't get it next year. And it's like, this is crazy. Why don't they just set it aside? Why don't you bank it? Hell, invest it in some way. But why just burn money? During September Madness, at least back then, if you're in the government, you cracked open the big catalog and you ordered crap. It was stupid. And what's really funny is there were actual needs, readiness needs within that unit, that if they could have taken the money, I don't even want to talk about it, because I think a lot of people, listen, did I stop it? No, I did nothing. But if I saw troops that I was responsible for being fed dreck, I gotta tell you guys the honest truth. If I didn't put a stop to it, if I'd ever seen that, that would have meant that I was just a giant piece of shit. I got out of the service because there was no way for me to be an honest person and stay in. And I'm sorry, that's just how I feel. But I think there were honest people who stayed in, and I think they did their best, and I'm sure they're still doing their best. I have to believe on an aircraft carrier, you'd have to have enough of those officers that you'd have a mutiny before you'd let your sailors eat dreck. So this is a weird story, folks. I would ask you from a Sovietological perspective, ask some questions. before you get suckered into it, before you get suckered, because let's just play pretend and this is just stealth dollar collapse. It's what Jim Woolley was talking about. We are the last to know that the dollar is dreck. Let's say it's just that. Then it does feed into the narrative they're trying to build that Trump is a giant piece of crap. And if anybody has to go down with a ship of failure, it'll be him. He's being totally set up. He is playing the role of a bad guy. Every time he says crazy shit like, we're going to take Greenland and we're going to invade Canada. And maybe, I even think he talked about invading France once or something. I mean, he talks about crazy, nutty stuff. He says we're going to take the Strait of Hormuz after we've won, but then every other day he says we've won. It's absurd. He is setting himself up as a mad king. And folks, once again, if we want to return to our Shakespeare, what happens to mad kings, or frankly kings in general, in any type of tragedy of any seriousness? Usually the kings end up dead, either at the beginning or at the end. Yeah. So it's weird, folks. If you want to look at this story about the aircraft carrier and say it doesn't quite add up, it doesn't. Because I cannot honestly believe, as sarcastic as I am, and as much of an anarchist as I am at this point, and I am, I think most of our founding fathers were too, hate to shock you, they would be described that way today. But as much as I am, I still believe there are people who wear the uniform who were just as naive as I was, and I can't imagine they'd be okay with it. But if they are okay with it, then they're pieces of shit. Every single officer, I don't care if they're a frickin' whatever, ensign, or whatever the lowest level is, you know, in the Navy. It was second lieutenant in the Army, but imagine you're the equivalent in the Navy. You could be the lowest level, just out of officer, candidate school, and your advanced, you know, basic course or whatever. You could be a brand new officer. If you let people that work for you eat poison garbage food, you're failing. I'm not saying you have, okay, we're not talking about the Battle of the Bulge here. Let's just reverse it a bit. We're not talking about Leningrad. We're not talking about in extremis. There are times in war where people have to eat really nasty shit. And frankly, the rations get really gross, and that's just reality. But this war, whatever it is, isn't like World War II or World War I. Nothing really did prevent that aircraft carrier from cruising out far enough to get refitted, reloaded, to even give the troops a break. There is no reason to do this except as a setup. And you have to ask yourself what the setup is. Is the setup to make Trump look like a monster? You know what would be the coup de grace is if ultimately what happened to the aircraft carrier was the same as the fate of the USS Liberty. And people have talked about that. There are people that have written fiction about that. You know, I think there was one guy that Kunstler interviewed years ago who wrote a fictional story about the end of the American Empire involving an aircraft carrier getting sunk. And folks, I don't really read or listen to Kunstler any longer. He's his own kind of guy. But that was an interesting theory, and that could apply as well. Who knows? But he is being set up as a Falstaffian, buffoonish, tragic king. And I just think those characters, I don't believe they're the ones that ride off into the sunset with the princess. No matter how you feel about them, their outcomes are never generally very good. It's some type of poisoning or stabbing or beheading or, you know, worse. And I mean that in the Shakespearean sense. These are not threats. These are not threats. I don't really think the guy is real in the way that most people are. I don't. I think listen, a lot of these folks are not. They're recruited at a relatively young age, and they're convinced to follow a path. And who knows, maybe he was recruited later in life. It doesn't matter. He's not somebody you're going to have coffee with. You're not. You're never going to go golfing. But it does look like he's being set up to take the fall. And that doesn't mean he's an innocent person, folks. You need to understand that. He could literally be a tragic buffoon because this is not an uncommon technique for intelligence agencies or, you know, tradecraft, but he could literally be a tragic buffoon. Like, he could be manipulated for years and years and years and think it's all about him. And this could be simply that. And if you add in, potentially, the MK Ultra angle, then who knows, it could be weirder. Folks, I don't want to go to that place because I have no evidence. I have no evidence for any of this theory. I'm just saying, when you look at the Lincoln scenario, be careful. Are China's surveillance exports turning nations into digital dictatorships? And now I want Ron Jeremy to run through the paper. Did you say Dick Dan dictatorships? Oh, God. Can artificial intelligence replace human judges? Well, folks, that's a good way to end the headlines here. Can AI replace your judge? There was a sci-fi film about that with Chris Pratt. It kind of seemed like another version of Minority Report, but maybe it's its own special story. I don't know. But could a judge be replaced by AI? Well, here's the question. Is the law logical? Is it? Is the law logical? I've known people. I had a cousin who passed a few years ago who was a professor who taught this stuff. He taught philosophy of law. He taught philosophy. A brilliant, brilliant person who was taken too early in life. And, you know, in honor of his family, that's all I'll say. But, because we don't want him associated with your kind. I know. But I could imagine if I asked my cousin this question, is the law logical? He'd probably ponder it for a second and he'd say, well, yes and no. Because he generally answered the questions like that sometimes. And I kind of like that. He did his own Socratic method his own way. And that's good. We should all do that. We shouldn't just be robots. I would probably say that the law is connected as much to language generally as it is connected to certain sub-languages. And one sub-language is mathematics, and a sub-language of mathematics is logic. And so if you were to say to me, Dan, is the law logical? Well, in theory, it should be on one level. It should be. Which means that if you define something in the law, then that definition has to be met. So what is the definition? What's a murder? You know, that's the point. The law seems logical until you run into situations like abortion, because people will make a compelling argument. And folks, in the olden days, they did their own kind of abortion, and often it meant exposure. It was after the baby was born. If they could not take care of it in ancient times and other cultures, many places, and even today, probably, it's just exposure. It's terrible, you know? So I'm not defending abortion ever. I'm just saying that it's not a simple issue. And that's the point. When it comes to law, it's like we're trying to do for ethics what communists think we can do for commerce. You can't really do that. We truly believe we can tame human relationships. But human relationships are better if they're organic, if you allow people to simply relate on their own. Nobody wants to be forced to go to a party. And guess what? I don't want anybody coming to my party if they feel like they have to be there. You know? Or better yet, if it's a means of manipulation. If I were to have a party, I want people there because they want to have fun. And I don't even care if they're there for me. It's more of, are you here to have fun? Are you here to have fun, baby? Yeah. I don't know if an AI could do it, because I think an AI would have to have metacognition. I think it would have to have some type of emotional intelligence, because it really isn't as simple as logic. You know, the cases involve facts and evidence. They involve situations and context, means, motive, opportunity, if it's a criminal case. And if it's a civil case, it's a question about balancing justice itself between neighbors. Folks, in reality, the calculation problem that we apply to economics as libertarians and anarchists and other types of freaks it can be in part applied to ethics and morality, and specifically law. We try to do to law what's probably not possible, and that is to figure out how do we have the magical judge. But folks, I don't think one exists. And if we go to AI, we might be horrified. I mean, if you understand that most of the people you know are sinners, I'm a sinner. I wish I weren't. I sin. I try not to, but I still sin. And that's not a Rasputin justification for sin. I'm simply explaining that I sin. And law itself is connected to some basic sins, like, you know, don't steal, don't do this. Do I do any of the bad stuff? No. But I do the little stuff that we still shouldn't do. I'm not sure there should ever be a law against it, but that doesn't mean I don't do it. The stuff that is mostly harmful to the self. But here's the deal. Everybody sins. And a lot of people are scofflaws. I mean, a lot of people who vote and believe in the law, to include police, are scofflaws. They'll break laws. They'll check both ways before they cross the law. They'll do it. If it's speeding, if it's using marijuana at the wrong time in the wrong place, if it's worse drugs, a lot of people who claim to be law and order also break the law. If you had to have a perfect judge, what would it do with our society today? The perfect AI judge, in my opinion, would triage the hell out of us and would basically just start pulling people off the streets because logically it makes sense. There's a lot of dangerous people out there. It might come up with a more humane solution for homeless people, but truly I don't know if it would because logically that costs money. And a lot of this is about programming. In all likelihood, the programmers will say, well, homeless people are garbage. And so the AI will say, well, what do you do with garbage? You toss it to the dump, take it to the dump, take it to the dump, take it to taco time. Free tacos on Tuesday. Kentucky Fried Chicken's now KFC. KFC. And I hate to dwell on this, but I also don't mind. I've had my own experiences where I said to myself, I wish I could find a lawyer. I emailed law firms. I got, you know, butt kiss. I've had at least two occasions in the last 10 years where I legitimately needed the help of a lawyer and I couldn't find one. And people will talk about, well, that's why the law is here to protect you. Tell that to people who are poor. Because maybe there are some poor people that get the help. I never could find it. And I had two legitimate situations, one involving GoDaddy and the other involving something I don't want to talk about. But the bottom line is, in both of these legitimate situations, I could have used a lawyer, if only as proper counsel, and I couldn't find one. So I'll tell you something straight up. I think a lot of the, well, we have the system we have to protect people is a lot of bullshit. It is a protection racket. It is a racket. People make money off the law. They make money, the whole system is a racket. It's property tax racket. It's a generalized tax racket. It's a control racket. It's a racket. And a lot of these places are being trained now, not all, but many, by security firms out of the state of Israel, which means a lot of these police are being trained to treat us like Palestinians. That is the news, right? If you want to believe the news is the news is the news, that's the news. And if I want to roll on about it, I can. I don't know what to tell you. This was a no notes podcast, but somehow we ended up talking about shit. And I suppose this is also free advertising for ZeroHedge.com. So they should send me money, but they don't because they're asses. Dan, you're mean to us. You call us Isvestia. You mock us. Yeah, I do, but I mock you. You know, people that care, especially if they're dysfunctional. That's how they show love, you motherfuckers. So you should show me some love, baby. But no, in all seriousness, I can't go to any other news site because it's worse. You know, I could rip off Churchill and say, Zero Hedge is the worst fucking news site ever, except for all others. And that's where I'm at. Like, I may not like it, but it's all you got. If you want to believe there's any sort of skepticism out there, it seems like it's the only site that at least puts some voices out there that have a perspective that is kind of off the reservation. But at the same time, it's a lot of edgelords at this point. And the Epic Times bullshit they bought into, and it does seem like a lot of Hasbara people have been paying for Zero Hedge recently, like buying premium accounts. But that, Dan, doesn't impact nothing. That's a great way to money launder influence, is to do the whole purchase a premium account. Because it really does attract places like Unit 8200 and stuff. They got the bullshit money. They can buy a gazillion of these premium accounts and have all these accounts go, you know, I can't believe people don't know how the Palestinians smoked marijuana and then tossed the babies in the microwave. Because a lot of those stories were like that. Back in October of 2023, a lot of the stories were, oh, the Palestinians are tossing babies in the microwave. But in reality, it's easier to believe the opposite at this point, isn't it? That the Israeli troops were doing that. And I think maybe that's true. Folks, the only thing I can offer up is you got to be a little bit critical of all these stories. It's like the story of the problem with the refugees in Spain. You know, this whole Ceuta border invasion, massive amounts of scary people running. I'm not saying it's not a real story. It could be a real story. But it could also be one of these ops. Who knows? It's hard to say, folks. If you can't verify it, either yourself or through somebody you trust, then I really can't tell you if it's happening. And if you're saying that's an extreme position, it might be. But folks, even on the alternative side, it's a lot of dreck. You know, most of the stuff on YouTube is either stuff that is inoffensive, which means, oh, look at this really beautiful woman, you know, cooking a pizza on a stump, and it's not AI. Or some of the AI stuff is funny as hell because it's so stupid. I got to be honest with you. The stuff where some random dude is saving deer that are frozen in blocks of ice, I thought that made me smile last winter. And yeah, it was AI dreck. You know, the cat, the dog frozen under the ice. And somehow a person detects that event and has a hammer and saves the animal that's looking up at them through the ice. It's terrible. It's AI. But it just made me smile. And I'm sorry. I'm a bad person. It really just... In fact, I feel like looking that up after this podcast. It's just so sad. Poignant. I'm going to help you, boy. I just saw this. I got a hammer. I can save your life. I'm going to help you, puppy. I'm going to help you, lake cat. Oh, look, there's an octopus stuck in the lake. I'll help it, too. Poor little octopus. I don't know. I shouldn't just droll on because, like I said, I don't have notes today. I've been walking more. I'm trying to take care, better care of myself. But that's not the whole truth. The whole truth is it's a battle every single day. The main reason why, and on one level, why I don't, for example, drink as much beer as I used to, the real reason, and on a basic, honest level, is I just don't have as much money as I used to. And you could say, well, then that's good for your health. And maybe it is. Who knows? But I can't truly say it's something I'm doing through force of will yet, because I'm not. So it's hard to say. We shouldn't give up. We shouldn't give in. We shouldn't stop. Because if you can hear me, you should know that you are Omega Force. You're Omega Force. You're Omega Force. You're a force to be reckoned with. If you hear my voice, it is August the 16th, 2026. It's almost 9 a.m., but if you can hear my voice, you are Omega Force 9000.